And so we turn to Romans and chapter 8 for our reading. Romans chapter 8, and simply today, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Don't you just love short Bible readings? Just because there's a short Bible reading doesn't mean I'm going to be short. I don't know if there's a relationship there. Okay, today, thinking about the vast love of God. And here's the deal. God is love. God loves you. And that makes you lovely. Did you get that? God is love. God loves you. And that makes you lovely. Shall I just leave it there? That is the reality. Why we struggle with this truth, I'm not absolutely sure. But I don't think we always communicate to ourselves that we are lovely. I'm not sure we always communicate to others that they also are, what are they? Lovely. Why are they lovely? Because God is love and God loves you. And that makes you lovely. Now, I know immediately you could respond and say, well, hang on, Ed. If you knew me, you wouldn't think I was lovely. If you knew the things that I've said, if you knew my thoughts, if you knew what I've done, you would not think I was lovely. But the deal is that God is love, and God loves you, and God knows you absolutely. There is nothing in you that is hidden from God. There is no point at which we can suddenly say to God, God, I've got a confession. And we confess whatever it is to God, and God goes, wow, I didn't know that. God never says that because he knows. There's no surprises to God. He knows who we are. And he is love and he loves us, and that makes us lovely. And it seems to me that we have a responsibility to communicate that to ourselves, I am lovely, and to communicate that to others and to say to them in words and in actions that they are worth loving because God loves them. Yeah? Agreement? Yeah? Possibly. You know, might be, you know, use up too much energy if we nodded and things like that. But okay. Okay, where are we going to go today? Okay, God is love. God is love. God desires relationship with you because the love of God is not inactive. It is not just a statement we make about God and say, God is love, and that's great. Love is a verb. Love is an action. God is love, and God desires relationship with you. But you know and I know that there are issues. Because we're not the best people in the world. We're not always the nicest and kindest people in the world. And we might think, well, hang on, I understand why people wouldn't want a relationship with me. But because God loves us, he desires that relationship and he acts to make the relationship possible. And God forgives you. Why does God forgive you? He has to forgive you. Now, just listen to that. He has to forgive you if he desires relationship with you, and he's going to act to make the relationship possible. Then what's he going to do with the rubbish? What's he going to do with the sin? If he doesn't forgive you, that will always stand in the way of the relationship. And so God forgives. And he forgives because he desires relationship with you. If he didn't forgive, he would not have a relationship with you and you wouldn't have a relationship with him. And so he forgives. And then this final one, God is for you. God is on your side. And here's our verse, or a couple of verses. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you can imagine, I'm sure, that as the Apostle Paul writes this, as we get to the end of chapter 8, really he's been building up to something. And this, in a way, is the climax where he talks in what we understand as chapter 8 about the love of God. This is where it's at. And at this point, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm convinced that God is love and God loves you. He loves me. He loves all of creation. And his love is so vast, so immense. I'm convinced that, you know, and all this comes out. Neither death nor life can get in the way. Neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, the past, nothing. And so he just, all of this rolls out of him as this is being written or dictated by the Apostle Paul, because he understands the vastness of the love of God. So, the first one, God is love. How do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us, 1 John 4, verse 16, God is love. God is love in his very being. God never acts, or is never ever more than love and never ever less than love. All that God ever does is love. Every trace of God is love. And we are told in the first chapter of the Bible that we have been created in the image of God. And you and I, every time we love and every time we attempt to love, we are reflecting the being of God, because God is love. And sometimes we mess up in our attempts at love. And it's all warped and difficult and so on, but every attempt we make to love is a reflection of the being of God, because God is love and we're made in his image. God is love. The prophet Jeremiah said to the people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This love has no beginning and no end. It has no up and down, as it were. You know, how do we express the dimensions of God's love? You know, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, do you remember the verse? Let's quickly find it. You know, the prayer, that's Galatians, that's not right. The prayer of the Apostle Paul, praying for the people. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Again, seeking to express the dimensions of the love of God, but the love of God is so vast. You know, it is, you know, where is east and where is west? Where is north and where is south? Well, that's how vast the love of God is. Earlier, as we were reflecting on, I think, Romans chapter 5, I put this up. There is no end and no limit to the vastness of God's love that is freely lavished upon you. There is no end and there is no limit to the vastness of God's love that is freely lavished upon you. And that, I believe, is fundamentally true. God is love. What did I just do? Okay. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. We've read this earlier. That expression from the psalmist that there is no escape from the love of God. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And so on. You remember those verses. It doesn't matter where I go. There God is. There I experience his love. And even the darkness is as light in the presence of God's love. Or we can even turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 30, or chapter 8, verse 39, as we've done. Or we could turn, I think, isn't it, Romans 5, verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that great expression of the love of God for each one of us. God is love. God is love. And I know I say it a lot. I think I say it a lot. You know, I don't dare listen back to my sermons. You know, you can go onto the internet. Tristan's very good at recording the sermons and putting them on the website and so on. But I wonder sometimes if I went back and listened, you know, how often do I speak about the love of God? I speak about it because I am convinced. I am convinced that if we grasp that God is love and God loves us, it would change so much. It would change so much. You know. So God is love. Okay, God desires relationship with you. God desires relationship with you. He knows you. And God knows that your best place is in relationship with him. And I've quoted before St. Augustine in his Confessions. My soul will never be at rest until it finds its rest with you, O God. St. Augustine was a man with a troubled past. Even though his mother was a Christian and had prayed for him regularly and brought him up in church, Augustine, like many young men, had rebelled and did his own thing. He'd run away from God. And yet, in his words, God found him. And his confession later was, my heart and my soul will never find its rest until it finds its rest in you, O God. And God desires relationship with you. God wants to know you. God is a communal being. God is a relational being. God wants relationship with you. So God is love. God loves you and he desires relationship with you. And so God acts to make that relationship possible. We all know the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, it should be his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why do I put that up? Because God has acted already in Jesus. God loved the world so much. He loved you and he loved me. He loved the whole cosmos so much that he acted. He gave his one and only son. Love being a verb. Love being something that is active. God so loved the world that he acted. And 1 John 4:9, we love because he first loved us. Again, Romans 5:8 that I mentioned just a moment ago. God demonstrates his love for us in this. I missed out the word us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. God desires relationship with you. And God acts. He does everything necessary to make that relationship possible. What's the fourth thing? God forgives you. God forgives you. Now, I mentioned earlier, God has to forgive you. Now, don't misunderstand that in the context in which I'm speaking. Because God is love, because God desires relationship with you, Because God has already acted in Jesus to make that relationship possible, God has to forgive you. Not because of anything in you, but because of in Him. He wants relationship with you. And you know, we all know, that when we say harsh things to one another, when we misplace the trust of somebody, relationships are messed up. And it becomes, those things become as barriers between us. And you know as well as I do, in very simple ways, we need forgiveness. We need somebody to say, I forgive you. And to put that thing on the side. To put it away. So that we can enjoy relationship again. So why does God forgive? It's because He desires relationship with you. You know, when growing up, I genuinely had this idea that God could forgive me, but He wasn't sure whether He wanted to. Did any of you grow up with that sense? God could forgive you, but He wasn't sure He really wanted to. And so I had, what were we told? You must confess your sin before God will forgive you. You must do this before God will forgive you. I don't think we comprehend how much God loves us, how much God desires relationship with us. The fact that God has already given Jesus for us. You know, how much does He want relationship with us? He gave Jesus for us to make it possible. Do you not think that God would also forgive us? Do you really think that God would make it difficult? No. God is trying to make it as easy as possible, as clear as possible, that we are loved with an everlasting love and He will forgive us because He desires relationship with us. God, I believe, desires relationship with us far more than we desire relationship with Him. I don't think we understand just if we have relationship with God, the place of rest we find, the place of peace that we experience. And but God knows that. God knows that our place is with Him and His place is with us. And so He loves us. He desires relationship. He acts and He forgives us. Extraordinarily, but He does. Now, forgiveness. Well, forgiveness releases us from any guilt or shame. It releases us from the guilt of the stuff that we've done wrong. The fact that we are guilty. It releases us from the feeling, the emotion, the experience of guilt. But it also releases us from shame. The reason so often I think that we don't put relationships right when we should is because of shame. It's not just because of guilt, it's because of shame. Because we're ashamed of what we said. We're ashamed of what we did. And we don't want to be reminded of it. And so rather than repair the relationship, we pretend it never happened. Or we kind of drift away, or we have a kind of relationship that's not as good as it used to be. Because we don't want to touch what we did. Because we're ashamed. We don't want to be reminded of it. And so we settle for less. But forgiveness releases us. God says, I know you're guilty. I know you're guilty. And I know your shame. So here's the deal. I'll forgive you. Because I want to deal with your guilt. And I want you to step forward and know that you're loved. And experience that love. So I'm going to deal with your shame as well. And that's what forgiveness does. And it sets us free. Forgiveness sets us free to build a new relationship with God. So God is love. God desires relationship with you and God has acted. He's done all that He needs to do to have a relationship with you. And God forgives you because forgiveness is necessary for that relationship to happen. Now, the final one is God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God wants you. Because he loves you, God wants you to be the best you you can be. Get that? Because God loves you, God wants you to be the best you you can be. Nobody else can be you. Nobody else can be as good as you, because there's only you can be you. And God loves you and wants you to be the best that you can be. And God is for you. And God is the companion who comes alongside you. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 14, 15 and 16, and Jesus spoke about the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus began actually in chapter 13 saying to his disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. And you remember how the disciples began to get a little bit edgy and a little bit panicked. You know, where are you going? Can we come with you? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But you've seen the Father if you've seen me. And when I go, I will ask my Father and he will give the Holy Spirit, who will be, and the word we often use is, I will be a counselor, an advocate. What is that? It's somebody who comes alongside us. A companion. But not a companion who's going to be coerced into doing what we want. Not a companion who's going to be persuaded by our mad schemes in life. Not a companion who's going to affirm the relationships that we're in and we shouldn't be in. But a companion who says, I love you and I am determined that you will be the best you you can be. And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to counsel us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to give us all that we need so that we can be the best. Being loved by God, receiving that love, we can be the best that we can be. And this companion, God coming as a companion alongside us, calls us to repentance. And I guess we sometimes think of repentance as a really heavy thing. Repentance is about turning into God's way. You know, if we imagine a train on tracks and for whatever reason, the train gets derailed. Sometimes repentance is simply putting the train back on the tracks because we've got derailed. We're no longer heading in the right direction. You can imagine a train off the track is hard work. So it needs to go back on the tracks. Repentance, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us because God loves us to call us to repentance, to say, come on, come on, back on the tracks. Let's go back towards God. So constantly calling us, come on, there's a better way. There's a better way to live. There's a better way to be. You can be transformed. You can be changed. It's always calling us to repentance, turning back towards God. And in that, directing our footsteps when we're struggling. God in his love as a companion alongside us is directing our footsteps, telling us where to go and what to do. And then I put down explaining God's story, saying, look, you're not alone. This is all part of a big plan. God's plan is to reconcile all things together, not just you, not just me, but to reconcile all things. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think, or 5:19, somewhere there. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Colossians 1, the plan of God to bring all things together under Christ, the head. That is God's big plan. And so God comes alongside us as our companion to explain God's story to us. And I love the story of Easter. Well, it's not Easter morning, it's Easter evening. We know the story well, I'm sure, about how there was a couple on their journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Cleopas and a partner. They were making the journey, and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, comes and begins to walk alongside. Do you remember the story? Begins to walk alongside that couple. And Jesus engages with them. What were you talking about? And they begin to tell of their disappointment. They began to tell about their hopes and their dreams, their wishes, their desires. It all pours out. There's somebody there to listen. And so it all pours out. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, they don't recognize him, but he listens. And then what does he do? He begins to explain God's story. He begins to explain God's story. And it says, going back to the prophets. You know, sometimes I think, wouldn't it have been great to be there? You know, to have Jesus explain the big story. This is what God is up to. And so they journey together, and Jesus talks and talks and talks all the way, explaining, explaining, explaining. Look, this is all part of God's wonderful story. And they get to Emmaus, and Jesus makes as if he's going on, but that couple say, no, come in, you must stay with us. And they go in, and a meal is prepared. And what's the point at which they recognize Jesus? It's when he breaks bread. It's at that point when they welcome him into their life, when they welcome him into their home, and when they sit down and fellowship with him and say, there's a place for you, Jesus. It's at that point that they recognize him. The love of God is so vast that right now, God is walking alongside your friends and your family who do not know him. And what's God doing walking alongside your friends and family who don't yet know him? Calling them to repentance. Constantly saying, there's a better way, there's a better way. You're loved, you're lovely, you're beautiful. There's a better way. Whispering in their ear, seeking always to direct their footsteps. In many ways, they would understand it as coincidence or fluke or luck, but it's God who is directing their footsteps. And trying all the time to bring in an explanation. This is God's story. You're part of a big plan, and it's a glorious plan. And right now, I believe God is walking alongside your friends and your family who don't yet know you, don't yet know God. And already he's walking. And what's God waiting for? You know, because they don't recognize him. They don't see him. They don't understand. Just waiting for that moment of invitation. Come in. Sit down with us. And it's at that moment that your friends and your family will recognize, wow, God was with us. And they discover Jesus. And what does that mean for those people who we don't know? Friends, and not friends and family, but people all over the world. What is God doing? Has God abandoned some people and is choosing to walk with others? Or is God, in his grace, in the immenseness, the vastness of his love, is not God right now walking alongside people we would never dream of going near? But God, right now, is walking alongside them. And what is God doing? He's calling them to repentance. seeking to direct their footsteps and explaining God's story to them. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And they don't recognize him. God is just waiting. Invite me in. When I'm made to go on, invite me in, because I will come in. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will go in. Or what does it say? I will feast with them. I will eat with you. And so God is walking alongside people we would never dream of, calling them to repentance, directing their footsteps and explaining God's story, waiting, waiting, waiting patiently as love waits patiently for that invitation. Come on in. And it's at that point that they recognize Jesus. And from time to time, I pick up stories of people who've never heard of Jesus. I'm sure you've heard the same kind of stories. People have never heard of Jesus. Muslims who've known Jesus only as a prophet through their religion. They're having dreams and visions of Jesus as the Son of God, the resurrected one. And they're seeking people out to say, explain this to me. This one is with me. And he loves me and he's walking with me. And so I believe God is love. And God desires relationship with you, but God desires relationship with every human being on the planet. And God has acted to make that relationship possible. God has acted to make that relationship possible with every human being on the planet. And God, just as God forgives you because he wants to have relationship with you, so he forgives all. And he refuses to let anything we've done stand in the way of that relationship. And God is for you. And God is for everyone on the planet because he loves them. And he's working for their best and he wants them to be their best. And so for each one of us, he's calling us to him. And this is the vastness of God's love. Challenging and encouraging you. That last thing, when you turn away. And I say all of this because I believe there is no end and there is no limit to the vastness of God, God's love that is freely lavished on you. Why do I go on and on and on about the love of God? Because for some reason, I think we've missed it. And we need to understand the vastness of God's love. God loves us. And he's not particularly impressed with our gifts, our abilities. What he does want is character. As we are loved, so love transforms us and makes us good people, kind people, generous people, thoughtful people, compassionate people. God is looking for people who will let him transform their hearts. And so, I've said it all already, but here it is. God is love. God desires relationship with you. God acts to make relationship possible. God forgives you and God is for you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, neither any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in and has been revealed to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.